Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tomid Daf Lamed Gimel. We begin today's shiur, Perek Hey, Mishnah Hey. We will be continuing with the topic we left off last time, dealing with the offering of the Ketores, the daily incense offering that was offered in the Heichal on the golden altar in the Beis HaMikdash. Mi shezocha b'machta notal machtas hakesef, he who was chosen to handle the pan with the coals in it, the coals were taken from the Mizbeach in the temple courtyard into the Heichal. So he who was chosen for that purpose took a silver pan, the Ola L'Rosh HaMizbeach, he rose to the top of the courtyard Mizbeach, Ufino es hegecholim heloch veheloch v'chota, and he removed the superficial coals from the fireplace to each side and dug in, so to speak, to get the inner coals. Yorad, he descended from the Mizbeach, the Aaron Lusoich Shelzahov, and then poured the coals that were in the silver pan into a gold pan, a gold service vessel. Nispazir Mimenu Kikav Gecholim. There was a scattering of about, a kav is a measure of coals. In other words, when he was pouring from the silver pan, which held more than the golden pan, the silver pan held 4 kav, the golden pan held 3 kav. Therefore, there was a spillover of 1 kav. V'hoyo mechabdon lo'amo, and that was swept into the stream or the ditch that flowed out of the Beis HaMikdash. Ubashabos hoya kufe alein psachter. On Shabbos, when one is forbidden to extinguish that which is burning, as would be the case in the coals if one were to sweep it into the stream of water running out of the Beis HaMikdash, he would in effect be extinguishing them, and that's forbidden. So he would cover them, he would, the coals that spilled over, the extra coals that spilled onto the floor, he would cover them with a vessel called a psachter. Upsachter hoiso kli godo machsekes lesech. The psachter was a large vessel holding a quantity known as a lesech. A lesech is a half a core. Ushtei sharshirois hoyu bo. There were 2 chains attached to this psachter on either side of it. Achas shehu moshech bo v'yored. The achas shehu oches bo milamalon. B'shvil shelo tisgalgel. When they were removing the ash from the Mizbeach, they would also use a psachter. So this vessel, as the mission itself is about to tell us, had several different purposes. One of them was for covering the excess coals. The another purpose was to contain the ash from the top of the Mizbeach when it was being removed to be taken out of the Beis HaMikdash. A psachter was filled with the ash, and it was a rather weighty thing, and therefore when going down the incline, namely the ramp leading down from the top of the Mizbeach down to the floor, you had to be able to maneuver this vessel with loaded with ash. Hence, you had these chains that assisted in doing that. the one chain, we'll call it the lead chain, would help pull it off the top of the Mizbeach, and the back chain would be there to stabilize the vessel while going down the ramp and not falling off the side. So that's what is meant over here when the Mishnah describes the two chains, achashu moshech bo v'yored, v'achashu oches bo milmalon, one that he holds as he's descending and the other that he holds from above on this incline. So one will naturally be lower and the other one higher. B'shvil shelo tisgalgil, in order that it shouldn't fall off the side of the Mizbeach. U'shloisha dvorim hoiso mishameshes. The psachter fulfilled three roles. Koifen oiso al gav gecholim, that's what we just mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah, that when there was overflow, or when there was the excess amount of coals that scattered as a result of pouring from the large silver pan into the smaller golden pan, so the psachter was to cover those excess coals. V'al hasheretz b'shabos, these are two Shabbos related points, the coals that couldn't be swept into the stream, the amo, on Shabbos, and if there was a dead sheretz, a dead creature found on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, and you couldn't carry it out on Shabbos because of the Isser Muktzah. So it was covered with a psachter. And the third role, Umoridin bo esadeshen me'al gabi hamizbeach. The ash was removed using the psachter from the top of the Mizbeach. Mishnah Vov. We're continuing with the Ktores. Higiu bein ha'ulam v'lamizbeach. The two Kohanim that were Zoche, that were chosen for the Ktores, you had one carrying the incense and one carrying in the pan with the coals. So when they got to the area that's bein ulam l'mizbeach, the area in the temple courtyard beyond the altar, before the entrance to the ulam being the entrance way to the, or the antechamber, before getting into the actual heichal. So when the Kohanim reached that point that we call Bein Ulam V'Lamizbeach, Notal Echod Es HaMagrefa, one of them took a vessel known as a magrefa, and there are, according to the commentaries, there were three magrefos in the Beis HaMikdash, and one of them had this purpose, was to make a noise. So he would take the magrefa, vizorka, bein, ha'ulam, v'lamizbeach, and he would throw it in that area between the ulam and the mizbeach, and it made a very loud noise upon impact with the ground. Ein odom shomea kul chavir ushlami kol hamagrefa. It was created a deafening noise, so much so that one could not hear his friend in Yerushalayim. Ushloisha dvarim hoysa mishameshes. The magrefa sound had three functions. Kohen sheshomea es kola, a Kohen who would hear the sound of the magrefa, and he was outside the azara. Yoidea she echov hakohenim nichnosim lishtachavois. He knew that his colleague Kohanim were going to enter the heichal for bowing. For who Ratsuba, and that would notify him to hasten and come, to bow together with them. Uven Levi, Shu Shomea Eskola, Yodea Sheechov Halavim, Nichnosim Ludabir Bashir. A Levi, upon hearing the sound of the Magrefa, knew that the his colleague Levim were assembling to stand on the platform in the Azora, which held these Levim for their for their shira, or recitation of song, when eventually the wine was going to be poured down the tubes on the Mizbeach as part of the Nisuch HaYayin for the Tomet Shel Shachar. The Rosh HaMa'amod Hoya Ma'amid Es HaTmeim B'Shar HaMizrach. The Ma'amod are the people appointed from amongst the general population who are to be present when the daily sacrifices, the daily public sacrifices, were being offered. So when he would hear the Magrefa, he would know to separate any Kohanim and others that had become Tomei, and have them separated and stand by the eastern gate of the Azara. So they were separated at this point in time. Upon hearing the sound of the Magrefa, this was a type of announcement for the Rosh HaMa'amod to separate the anyone who had become Tomei and position them at that eastern gate. We now continue with the sixth perek of Tomid, Mishnah Aleph. Hechelu oylim b'ma'aloi se'ulam. The two Kohanim that were chosen for the incense offering. We had one of them carrying the actual incense and the other one carrying the pan holding the coals. They started to ascend the stairs that led from the floor of the Azara to the Ulam. There were 12 stairs that led from the floor till the entrance to the Ulam. Mi shezochu bedishun mizbeach apnimi v'haminora hoyu makdimim lifnehem. The two Kohanim that had been chosen for the cleaning out of the inner Mizbeach from its ashes and the menorah would go before these Kohanim with the Torahs and the coals. And they would be going into the Heichal in order to remove the vessels that had remained there since they had cleaned out those two vessels. This we had learned earlier in the third perek. So you have to imagine the Kohanim dealing with the incense being preceded by those Kohanim who had been dealing with the cleaning of the Mizbeach and the Menorah. Mi shezocha bedishon Mizbeach apnimi nichnas v'tot notal es ateni. He who had been chosen and cleaned the inner Mizbeach would now go in and take the teni. This was the receptacle holding the ash. V'hishtachava. And he would now bow. This bowing is associated with the fact that he finished the avoda. It's a completion of an avoda, hence it's time now to bow. V'yotza, and left the hecha. Misha zocha bedishon hamenorah nichnas. He who had been chosen and had actually cleaned the menorah entered. Umotza shnei neros mizrochim dokim. He found the two eastern candles still burning. Midashen es hamizrochi. He would now clean out the easternmost candle. Umaniach es hamarovi dolek. And he would leave the second one from moving, going from east to west. That second candle is called the Maravi, literally the western one, but it means it's the first candle after going from the extreme east. When you moved westward, that's called the Maravi, and that was be left burning. Shemimenu hoyamadlik es hamenorah bein harbayim. It was from that candle that he would light in the late afternoon, he would light the other candles that would then burn through the next night. Mitzoy Shikova, if he found that Ner Ma'arovi had actually gone out, Midashno, he would clean off the wick from any accumulated charcoal, Umadliko Mimizbeach Oila. He would then light it from fire drawn from the outer Mizbeach. According to the commentaries, he would actually remove the wick and put a new wick and oil in there and light it from a fire from the outside Mizbeach. And as we said, they were interested in keeping that Ner Ma'arovi burning throughout the day because it was from that candle that the others were lit. Notal es hakuz. He took the kuz, is a vessel that had the ashes from the candles that he had cleaned out earlier, and it had originally been left on the second of the three stairs that were built created from a block that was positioned in front of the menorah to give the kohen increased height. So the vessel containing the residue and the ashes from the menorah had been left on that on the second stair. So the Mishnah says, Notos akuz mimalo shnia, v'hishtachava, he bowed, v'yotza, and then left. Because at this point he now completed his preoccupation and role with regard to the menorah. And as we said before, the bowing is associated with the completion of activity. Mishnah Beis. We now go back to the Ketores. Mi shezocha b'machta, he who was chosen to deal with the pan holding the coals for the incense. Tzovar es hagecholim al gabi hamizbeach. He poured out the coals from the pan onto the top of the inner mizbeach. V'rididon b'shulei hamachta. He then leveled the pile of coals using the bottom of the pan. V'hishtachavo v'yotza. He, having completed his role with regard to the coals, now bowed and left. Mishnah Gimel, mi shezocha baktores, he who was chosen for the actual offering of the incense, hoyanotel es habozoch mitoch hakaf. He took the bozoch, which is the name of the vessel containing the actual toros, and it was a vessel that was carried in while it was within a larger vessel called the kaf. So he removed the inner vessel, the bozoch containing the incense, from within the kaf. The Kohen then gave it to a fellow Kohen, called his Ohavoi's friend or his relative, that came in together with them for this purpose. Nispazer mimenu l'soichoi. If there was ktores that scattered from the bozoch, the smaller vessel, into the kaf, so noisnoi loi bechofnov, the ohavo, the friend, would pour it from the kaf into the chafonov of the maktir, of the one who was going to be offering the incense. The chafonov is a situation where a person cups his two hands together. We can call it two hands full that are held together. And the ktores was poured, and that's why you have this friend in there, this additional kohen, who would pour the incense into the maktir. He's the one that would put it on the coals, the maktir's chafonov. Umelamdin oisoi, and the one who was going to burn the incense was taught, heve zohir, be careful, because you have a person here holding, he's standing next to the altar, which has burning hot coals on it, and he's going to take his hands full that now contains ktoras and scatter it over the coals. and scattered in what appears to be an even distribution of it over hot coals. How can one do this without burning himself? And the actual intensification of the heat took place when the incense substance hit the coals and started to inflame. The burning coals themselves, before anything was placed on them, they themselves were hot, but they didn't radiate heat as such. But as soon as the incense material would hit the coals, it would become very intensely hot, and it was very important for him to be careful to move his hands to start the scattering of the incense, while his hands were, of course, they were cupped, holding the incense in them. But he would have his hands outstretched while cupped and scatter the incense from his cupped hands onto the coals, moving his hands toward himself, toward his body. So that way, as soon as the incense hit the coals, his hands were already moving away from that point where the coals were becoming inflamed. And that's what the Mishnah says. How is he to be careful? Shema taschu lefanecha, and avoid starting the scattering of the coals from a point closest to you and then moving your hands away from you and scattering. And that would, of course, endanger the Kohen to becoming burned. Shelo tichaveh. He should be careful not to start the distribution of the incense over the coals near him, because so as not to become burnt. Hischil miradeid viyotze. He started to scatter the incense over the coals, and with that he finishes what he is supposed to do. Lo hoya hamaktir maktir ad shehamemune oimer loy hakter. He wouldn't scatter the incense over the coals until the appointed one, the memuna, the appointed one, told him, now offer it. Hakter is literally burn it. Im hoya koyin gadol. If the one who was that day offering the incense happened to be the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, then Hamemuna Omer, the appointed one who was overseeing the activities, would speak with a sense of honor and dignity to the Kohen Gadol in saying his instructions, and say as follows: Ishi Kohen Gadol Hakter. That little preface there, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Sir. Mr. Kohen Gadol, offer the Ktores. Pershu Ha'om V'Hiktir. Pershu Ha'om means all the Kohanim would leave the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach at the very point in time when the Haktores, when the offering of the Ktores took place. The Pasuk says in the Torah, V'chol Adam lo yeh ba'oil mo'yeh b'voyeh l'chaper b'kodesh, that no one should be present when something is being offered in the oil mo'yeh. So therefore, at the Shas HaKtorah of the incense, no one was to be in the oil mo'yeh, and not only that, but was not even to be in the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. That's what's meant by Pershuam. They separated, they distanced themselves from that area. And the Hiktir, he offered the Kohen in the Heichal, now offered the incense. Fishtachava, the Yotzi bowed and left. At this point, we continue to Omid Beis, the beginning of the seventh Perek Zion, Mishnah Aleph. Bisman Shekohen Gadol nichnas l'shtachavos, when the Kohen Gadol entered the Heichal for bowing, Shloisha Oichazimbo, he was accompanied by three three Kohanim that would hold him. Echod b'imino, ve'echod b'smol, one to his right, one to his left, ve'echod bo'avonim tovos, and the other would hold the precious stones. And the Mephoshim say this is a reference to the stones, the Avnei, that called the Avnei Ephod. These were with the two Avnei Shoham that were on the shoulders of the Ephod garment. So as he was bowing, these two stones also had to be supported. So the Kohen Gadol received this, we call, special treatment, in that he was assisted while going in to bow. Two Kohanim on either side, and the third Kohen to support these stones that were on his shoulders. The Kevon Sheshoma HaMemuna Kol Raglov Shel Kohen Gadol Shu Yotze, when the Memuna, the appointed one, heard, as a result of the bells that were on the Kohen Gadol's garment, the bottom edge of the Mi'il, there were bells, so the Memuna would hear that the Kohen Gadol is finishing his bowing. Higbia Loi Es HaPoroiches, he would pick up the porochas, the curtain that covered the entrance of either the ulam, some beforeshim say the entrance of the hechal. So that you have here, in addition to the Kohanim that accompanied the Kohen Gadol in for the bowing to help support him, you have here the Memuna also removing or picking up the porochas, the covering, the curtain covering that covered the entrance. Nichnas v'shtachavo v'yotza. There are some that don't have the girsa of Nichnas in the Mishnah, because we basically already understood that from the top, from the first opening line of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah nevertheless is describing the Kohen Gadol's entrance and exit to the Heichal for bowing. And now, v'nichnasu echov ha-kohanim v'shtachavu. All the other Kohanim that were there entered the Heichal and bowed. We continue with Mishnah Beis. Bo'u v'omdu al ma'aloi se'ulam. The Kohanim, after they finished their activities, they bowed and left the Heichal. They now stood on the stairs of the ulam, meaning the stairs leading down from the ulam to the Azorah. Omdu harishonim l'droim acheim hakohanim. The first ones, the ones that were the first kohanim that were mentioned in the previous perek that served in the heichal, those were the ones that were involved with the removal of the ash of the inner mizbeach and the menorah, and the kohanim that held the machto and the one who burnt the Ketores and the friend that accompanied him in. So those are five Kohanim who are referred to here as the first ones, and they stood off to the side. That's the side when you're going down the stairs from the ulam, leaving the ulam to go into the Azorah. So you're really walking from west to east, so off to the side would be the south. So if you're going in a from west to east in the easterly direction, to your right hand would be the south. So the Mishnah says that those five Kohanim that we enumerated stood to the south, the southern side of the others. Umdu harishonim l'drom achem akarim v'chamisha kelim biyodam, and five vessels were in their hands. Hateni biad echod. We had seen this reference before. The teni held the ash from the mizbeach ha-zohov, from the inner mizbeach, the golden mizbeach. Ba'kuz biad echod. The kuz was the receptacle that held the residue from the ash of the menorah, v'hamachto bi'adecho, the pan that had originally contained the coals for the inner mizbeach, v'habozoch bi'adecho, and one of them was holding the bozoch, that was the vessel that held the incense, v'kaf v'kisuyo bi'adecho, and the kaf, which was the outer vessel that had held the bozoch within it, with its cover, that was held by the fifth individual. Uberchu esom brocha achas, and they blessed the people, the Birkas Kohanim. Now the Birkas Kohanim that we're familiar with, when we speak about the Kohanim going to Duchen, that takes place, depending where you are, in Yerushalayim, for example, they would duchen every day. Outside, there are different practices. We're familiar with three brachas. Each bracha is containing a different number of words. Yivorachicho Hashem v'yishmerecha, and upon that, there would be outside the Beis Hamikdash a recitation of Amen. And then after Vichunecha, which completed the second group of words, five words for the second bracha, there would again be an Amen, and at the end, after Shalom, which is the completion of the Birkas Kohanim, another Amen. So the Mishnah points out that in the Beis HaMikdash, it was really viewed as, was treated as one bracha. In other words, there were no Amens that separated the groups of words 3, 5, and 7. Elo she ba'medina oimrim oiso shalosh brachos u ba'mikdash brocha achas. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, as we mentioned, it was divided into three groups, hence referred to here as three brachos, three blessings, and in the Beis HaMikdash it was viewed as one long blessing. Ba'mikdash hoyu omrim es Hashem kiksavo u ba'medina b'chinuyo. In the Beis HaMikdash, the name of the Almighty, which we would call the Ineffable Name, was pronounced literally as it's written. That's what the Mishnah says. It was pronounced as it's written. We don't have the tradition today on how it was actually pronounced, but it was pronounced the way it was written according to how the Mishnah says it literally. And in the Medina, meaning outside the Beis HaMikdash, we use the word that we refer to as the Adnus expression, the way we refer to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to the Almighty, on a daily basis. Whenever you say a brocha, baruch atah, and then the word, next word that follows is the Adnus word, and that's called Kinuyo. Just to go over this last point, in the Beis HaMikdash, the approach to brachas is different than outside the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, there is no use of the word Amen, and rather when the and as a result of that, so you didn't have any means of breaking the psukim down into three brachas. And other differences we mentioned now, that in the Beis HaMikdash, the name of the Almighty was recited in such a way that you wouldn't say it anywhere else. Continuing in the Mishnah with some other distinctions between the Medina and the Beis HaMikdash with regard to the Birkas Kohanim, ba'Medina ha'Kohanim noisim es kapeim yideim keneged kisvoisehem. In the area outside the Beis HaMikdash, named the Medina, the Kohanim, when they're blessing the people in Birkas Kohanim, they raise their arms till a point opposite their shoulders. In other words, their arms are raised to shoulder height. Uvamikdash al gabi roshen. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim, in blessing the people, would raise their arms above their heads. Chutz mikoyin gadol she'eno magbias yodov lamala min atzitz. With the exception of the Kohen Gadol, who wore a golden headband on which there was there had been the name of the Almighty. So that according to the first opinion on this topic, the Kohen Gadol would not raise his hands in Birkas Kohanim above his head, so as not to raise his hands above the name of the Almighty that was on his golden headband. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Af Kohen Gadol Magbia, Es Yodav Lamala Minatzitz. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that the Kohen Gadol as well would raise his hands above the tzitz. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Vayiso Aaron es yodov el ha'om vayivarchem," and Aaron raised his arms to the people and blessed them. So the vayiso, meaning raising, indicates under all circumstances, even the Kohen Gadol with the tzitz. After all, Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, and yet he was expected, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to raise his hands above the tzitz. Mishnah Gimel, Bizman Shekohen Gadol Roitze Lahaktir. In the event that the Kohen Gadol would desire to offer the limbs of the Tumid, the daily sacrifice, whether it be the Tumid Shel Shachar, Tumid Shel Ben Arabayim, Hoy Oilu Bakevesh VaHasgon Bimino. He, the Kohen Gadol, would ascend the ramp leading to the top of the altar, and the skun, he was we'll call him the assistant one, the individual who would replace the Kohen Gadol if anything happened to him. So he too, this skun, who we can refer to as the appointed one, went with him. Higia lemachzis hakevesh. We should just add that the Mishnah says, and the skan bimino would walk to his right, to the right of the Kohen Gadol. Higia lemachzis hakevesh. When the Kohen Gadol reached ascending the ramp, he reached the halfway mark, and he might have become tired at this point. So ochaz hasgan bimino vehelo. The skan would assist him by holding him from his right side and continue ascending the ramp, the kevesh. And now he's at the top of. They are at the top of the ramp, at the edge of the mizbeach. Now he's in the position to receive the limbs of the Tomet Shel Shachar in anticipation of throwing them into the fire at the top of the Mizbeach. Hoshit lo horishon. If we just recount, we had learned earlier that the limbs of the Tomet Shel Shachar were divided amongst a number of Kohanim. So the first of the nine Kohanim that were involved with carrying up the different parts of the Tomid Shel Shachar, the first of them would hand to the Kohen Gadol Harosh V'Haregel. That's what he, this first one, was carrying. So Hoshit Lo Harishon Harosh V'Haregel. Hoshit is like to extend. We mentioned before, hands over, but let's say he extends toward the Kohen Gadol, the Rosh and Regel, the head and foot, the Somach Alehem. The Kohen Gadol would place his hands on these limbs, and this placing of hands was a sign, an act of importance, showing importance. Uzrakon, and then he would throw the limbs into the fire. Hoshid Hasheni Lorishon Shtei Hayodayim. The second one who was carrying limbs handed what he had been carrying to the Rishon, to the first person. And Noisnon L'Kohen Gadol. Once again, you have him, the first Kohen, there extending that which the second Kohen had. In this case, it's Shtei Hayodayim, the two front legs of the animal, of the Korban. And extend them toward the Kohen Gadol. V'somach aleihem, the Kohen Gadol would place his hands upon them, uzrakon, and then throw them into the fire. Nishmat hasheni v'halachlo. That second limb carrier, now left, and went on his way. And thusly, all the rest extended the limbs, the other limbs of the sacrifice. He would place his hands on them and throw them into the fire. If he had another desire, he would do the placing of the hands, and others would throw the limbs into the fire. Up till now, we were describing the Kohen Gadol as placing his hands on the limbs, and he himself, the Kohen Gadol, throwing the limbs into the fire. Here, the Mishnah takes into account a possibility that the Kohen Gadol would want to do the smicha alone, the placing of the hands alone, and someone else tossing the limbs into the fire. Boloi lahakif es hamizbeach. If the Kohen Gadol was standing at the top of the kevesh, which was at the southern edge of the mizbeach, and he now wanted to descend, so he would walk to the top of the mizbeach, which he was already basically there. He would turn right, and at that point he would be. We should point out he's going to turn right and circumlocute the mizbeach and eventually reach the southwestern corner. That's eventually. Once again, the mizbeach is positioned from the ramp edge. That's the southern edge. Opposite him, the northern edge. And when you're walking from a south to north direction, so off to your right will be the east. So now the Mishnah, with that description in mind, the Mishnah says, when he's now lo lahakif es mizbeach, when he comes to walk around the mizbeach, and is eventually he's going to walk around the mizbeach and reach the point on the mizbeach where nisuch hayayin would take place. Mehechon umasel, from where does he start? In walking around the mizbeach, mikeren droimis mizrachis, the first corner he would reach as a result of taking that right turn when he's at the top of the ramp, the first corner he reaches is southeastern corner. He keeps walking around the mizbeach. The next corner to be reached is mizrachis tzvoinis, northeastern. The next one tzvoinis marovis, northwestern corner, and finally marovis droimis. He would then hit the southwestern corner. And we mentioned rather quickly before that he's going to reach the point after offering the limbs, as we described earlier in this Mishnah. He's now going to go to do the nisuch hayayin, the pouring of the wine. Nosnu lo yayin l'nasech. They handed to the Kohen Gadol the wine for pouring down the tubes that were built into the mizbeach and reached down into the depths of the ground. So they gave him the wine in anticipation of the nisuch, of the pouring of the wine. Hasgon oimed al hakeren vasudorim biyado. The skan was standing by the corner and holding sudorim, pieces of material. We can use the term flags loosely, but he was holding pieces of material. Ushnei kohanim oimdim al shulchan hachalovim, and two kohanim were standing on the table that was to the western side of the ramp. There were two tables positioned there. One was made of silver for the purpose of holding the clay shores, and the other was made of marble on which the limbs of animals of sacrifices would be placed on this marble table, placed on this table until they got around to bringing them up to the top of the mizbeach. That table is called the Shulchan HaChalovim. So the Mishnah tells us that when the Kohen Gadol was coming to do the Nisuch HaYayin, you had two Kohanim standing on this table, Ushtei Chatzotzros Shel Kesef Biodam, and they had two silver trumpets in their hands. Toku v'riu v'toku. They then blew into it the tkia sound, which is a straight blast, and then a hariu is a trua, a staccato blast, and then again a second a tkia blast. This, the Mefarshim say, was in order, this, the sounding of the trumpets was to arouse the singers in the Beis HaMikdash to pay attention to the sudrim, to the materials, to the flags that we made reference to just a moment ago. We're leading up to the breaking out in song. Now, at what point was song recited in the Beis HaMikdash? At the point that the actual Nisuch HaYayin was taking place. So that we have the Kohen Gadol now at the southwestern corner at the top of the Mizbeach. We have the Sgan holding Sudrim. We have two Kohanim positioned on the, standing on the table to the western side of the ramp, about to blast forth on their trumpets. And then when they blasted forth, Toku, Vehiriu V'toku, Bo V'omdu Eitzel Ben Arza, the Kohanim that after they sounded the trumpets, they then went and stood next to Ben Arza. He is the one in charge of an instrument called a tzlotzal. So the Mishnah goes on and says, Echod mimino v'echod mismolo, one to his right of Ben Arzo, and the other to his left. Shocha l'nasech. Now we go back to the Kohen Gadol. He bends over. Shocha is to bend over to pour the wine into the shisin on the top of the mizbeach. V'heinif hasgon basudorim, and the sgon now starts waving the flags. The Hikish Ben Arza Batzilzol. Ben Arza now sounds the tzolzol instrument. Might be something like a cymbals. So he clashed the cymbals one onto the other, making a noise. And at this point, the song broke forth. V'dibru Halavim Bashir. The Mefarshim say that as Ben Arza sounded the tzaltzal, the Kohanim had sounded their trumpets, so too now all the other vessels, the instruments started to play. And the Levium recited the shir. Every day there was a different paragraph that was recited as part of the Shir Shel Yom, the Shir for that particular day, as the Nisuch HaYayin was taking place. Higiu LaPerek, the paragraphs recited each day as part of the Shira were divided into three. Each paragraph was divided into three sections. The word section is perek. So higiu la perek, they came to the division in the shir, the division in the paragraph. Toku v'ishtachavu ha'om. There was a blasting of the instruments, and the kohanim blew a tkiah, truan a tkiah, and the people assembled there would bow in the azara. I'll call perek tkiah. For each section, there was a blasting of the instrument. I'll call tkiah hishtachavoya, and upon each tkiah, there was a bowing. Ze hu seder hatomid lavoidus beis elokeinu. What we have finished describing was the procedure and order of activities in the offering of the tomid in the house of the Almighty. Yehi rotzon shi bone b'mehira b'yomenu amen. And the Mishnah adds a prayer that we should only be the will of the Almighty that the Beis HaMikdash shall be rebuilt and the Avodas Beis HaMikdash renewed once again. Mishnah Dalet. Hashir Shehoyu Halvim Oimrim BaMikdash. This Mishnah enumerates the paragraphs that were recited in the Beis HaMikdash every day, a separate Shira. Now, we are not going to engage in the connection between the content of each paragraph and the given day, but we will mention that there is a connection, there is significance, and these are not just random chapters that happen to be cited as the Shira. So the Mishnah lists these paragraphs off, the and they may be familiar to many of you because we recite these paragraphs also on a each paragraph on its respective day at the end of our daily davening. So the Mishnah enumerates by Yom HaRishon on what we call Sunday. Hoyu Omrim Lashem Oratz Lo Tevel V'Yoshvei. That's Tehillim Perek Chof Dalet. Basheni Hoyu Omrim Godol Hashem Mulom Oid Bir Elokeinu Har Kodshoi. That is from Tehillim Perek Memches. Bashlishi Hoyu Omrim on Tuesday they would say the from Perek Pei Beis Elokim Nitzov Badas El Kerev Elohim Yishboi. Baravi Hoy Omrim on Wednesday they would say Perek Tzadi Dalid, chapter 94 of Tehillim, Kael Lekomois Hashem, Kael Lekomois Hifia. Bachamishi Hoyu Omrim, on Thursday they would say, chapter 81, Perek Pei Aleph, Harninu Lelukim Uzenu Horiu Leluke Yankiv. Bashishi Hoy Omrim, on Friday they would say, Hashem Moloch Geus Lovesh. And on Shabbos, Vishabbos Hoy Omrim, Perek Tzadi Beis. On Friday they had said Perek Tzadi Gimel. On Shabbos they say Perek Tzadi Beis. Mizmor Shir L'Yoyim HaShabbos. Mizmor Shir L'Osid Lavo. L'Yom Shekulo Shabbos U'Menucha L'Chaya Olamim. The term Shabbos in this paragraph, when we say Mizmor Shir L'Yoyim HaShabbos, is a reference to the word Shabbos, is a reference to a future time when the entire world will come to a state of Shabbos, we'll call it a sabbatical year. And as we mentioned a few moments ago, there is much more to say on this topic, but for our purposes, that will suffice. That it's reference to the final Shabbos period of time when there's peace for all of the world. With that, we finish Maseches Tamid and conclude our shiur for today.